Then I'll just say a few introductory remarks. Hi, it's Michael Balava again. It's December 18th, 1997. It's about 10:30 right now, and having a lovely conversation with Frank Bridgeforth. We were just discussing his Air Force days serving in Okinawa. After Okinawa, did you come back, or after your Air Force days, you were in 8 years, that meant you came out in 55?
55.
And you returned to Bridgeport.
Yeah.
And did all these different jobs, you've had an incredible amount of jobs from standing up pins in the bowling alley to creating field telephones, and you were a cook in the Navy. And
I also ran a pool room for a friend of mine while it was. And,
was that before the war, or?
Yeah, just before the war.
The Second World War.
Yeah. This was actually, might as well say, during the war, till I was old enough to go in service.
Oh, I see.
And I used to deliver newspapers. I used to deliver newspapers. I did everything.
What paper did you deliver?
The Bridgeport Post, the Time Star.
Door-to-door, or were you...
Door-to-door.
Door-to-door, okay.
And sometimes the papers would have... 48 pages or something like that, and they were heavy. And we had the bags.
Yeah.
Canvas sacks.
Yeah.
And we used to pick up their papers on at the Bridgeport Post here, right on the side entrance.
State Street.
Right.
Yep.
There's a little side entrance on a little short street right now. Right across from it is, the UI or something.
That's
like
that? Correct.
There's a little door. We used to go in that door, go up about 3 steps, and there was a platform. And we'd go on the platform, and there was 2 windows. And we'd go to one of the windows and get our papers. Now, at that time, when I was delivering papers, you had the 5-star final, 4-star, 3-star, 2, and actually, which was like the county edition. That was the first paper that came off. That had a lot of news, but it didn't have everything. Mm-hmm. Something would happen during the day, and that would actually change part of the front page.
And that would become the 2-star?
And then it would become like a 2-star. The 5-star final was the last paper that came out. That would be at night. And a lot of times I'd get out of school, I would pick up maybe the 4-star and maybe a couple of county editions. At that time the papers were a penny. Or, let's see, how do we do it? Yeah, I think they were a penny. And... we deliver them, we used to get 2 cents a paper. And then they went up to a penny and a half, and then we charged 3 cents a paper and all like that. And then I had some customers who actually were bad payers. They would, every time you went, see, at the end of the week, they only had to pay me a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And some people lived on the 3rd floor. And I'd go up to the 3rd floor, knock on the door, and I knew they were home, but they wouldn't come to the door. Give me my quarter. Okay, so I would stop delivering papers sometime. I'd say, hey, why should I put my money out? So the Bridgeport Post, what they did, they issued them people cards. So they would have to pay the post, and when I came up on Saturday, all I had to do was punch the card, and the Bridgeport Post would pay me.
Mm-hmm.
They would pay me. See, they had to pay the post.
Yes.
And then they'd pay me. So that was nice that way.
So a lot of walking... With the beat.
A lot of walking, and I had a bike. I had put a bicycle together. Because the fellow I got the paper out from was a good friend of ours. They used to live on a houseboat out in the Henry Street Dock.
Huh.
Their name was Reese. Their father's name was Captain John Reese. They're very good friends of
mine. How would you spell it? Do you remember how to spell it?
R-E-E-S-E.
R-E-E-S-E.
And, out of the original family, there's 2 sisters, 1 brother, and a stepsister. She lives in Philadelphia. That's my godchild. And because all the rest of them, they passed. I have pictures of all the boys that were in service, you know, at the time. And they lived on a houseboat right off of Henry Street Dock. And they used to go to school with me.
And which school was that?
Prospect.
Prospect.
And then the city had some kind of ordinance where you had to live in Bridgeport in order to go to the public school. Now, I guess they declared the water like neutral ground or something.
Yeah.
So they moved off of the houseboat and they moved onto land and they moved onto Whiting Street.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were living right next door. We had moved from Main Street to Whiting Street. We were living right next door to them. And one of the boys had the paper route. And his name was Douglas. He was the youngest boy. He's the one that gave me the bicycle, and I took over his paper route.
Hmm.
And I kept the paper route for a while.
All
the boys went in service except for one. There was five boys. Four of them went in, and one stayed home. I think it was something about when the Sullivan brothers,
yes,
when they all went down,
yeah,
then they started this thing where they don't want to take and kill the bloodline.
That's right.
So
that's
they
right.
Leave one to mm-hmm. keep the name going, you know. And I have pictures of the four that were in service.
Mm-hmm.
I got that out the Bridgeport Post right up, you know, when they first went in. Matter of fact, I got those and a lot of the other guys from the South End, and I got pictures of all them. I don't know if I gave Mary a copy of them or not, but
the pictures, I'm sure, would be nice to highlight your words, your conversation.
Of all the fellas that went in service during the Second World War that I got pictures of, and how many are still living. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting.
Now, when you came back after the Air Force in 55, did you start take one of your backgrounds as a cook or a earth
mover?
No,
I started working in a gas station.
Really?
Yeah.
So, and where was the gas station?
In Stratford, because I stayed with my mother. I moved out of Bridgeport, and they moved into Stratford.
Mm-hmm.
So, I stayed with them, and I worked in a gas station, Kramer's Gas Station. It was on the corner of Stratford Avenue and South Avenue. Nick Kramer.
And then they
turned around and opened up a body shop.
Yes.
Old South.
That's
Avenue.
Why I know. That's why
right.
I know.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I remember, because I was working for his father and he had the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And little Nicky was into hot rods and customizing cars. And I used to help him customize it. He had a little Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And his father and I used to go up to Boston, up to Mass, when they had the hot rod shows.
Yeah.
Because little Nicky had cars entered in up there. And he had a lot of trophies. He got a lot of trophies with him. Because we took an old Model T, all rusted and everything, and we cleaned it up and everything in the garage there. Made a hot rod out of it.
Neat. That's neat.
I mean, in them days, excuse me, the kids used to take, in the 50s, they would take the cars, heat the coil springs so that the car would drop down.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be no higher than you could put a pack of cigarettes up underneath. That's how much clearance was between the bottom of the car and the ground. And the front seats, they take all the support out from under the front seat and drop the seat completely down so that if you saw the car going down the street, it didn't look like anybody was in the car.
Yeah.
Because that's how low they were.
Yeah.
You know? Excuse me. But it was cool. I used to like that. and the auto shows was beautiful because I used to like me and the father used to go down to the auto show.
Mm-hmm.
And see all the other cars that were on display. And one time we went down there, they had this car. It was stainless steel. I mean, it was. Then when the lights hit it, you had to put sunglasses on. That's how it,
huh.
bright it was. And I was telling, I said, Nick, I said, I know they don't let this thing on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't possibly. If you put that thing on a highway,
yeah.
that would be nothing but one big light. You know, it would probably blind everybody on the turnpike there.
Mm-hmm.
They said when they brought it up there, they had it inside of
yeah,
a truck.
They transported it.
And I mean, them vehicles were beautiful.
And that was in Boston?
Yeah.
Were there any shows in this
yeah.
area?
No, not at the time.
So you'd build them over at Kramer's garage, yeah, the gas station.
At the gas station, because little Nicky, that was his hobby. Mm-hmm. He used to like to tinker with cars, and then they built the body shop. And
so did you ever go to the midget auto racing up there at Candlelight?
Candlelight Stadium?
Yeah.
No, when they had a Newfield Park.
At Newfield Park, yeah. But that was like in the late 30s, mid-30s?
That was the mid-30s. And because my cousin lived on Beardsley Street, and we used to walk from the south end to Beardsley Street, and we'd go in the back there because the park was right in the back there. That's mm-hmm. when it was nice.
They still played ball there?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not, of course, during the races. Yeah. But
they used to play ball in some of the corners.
Yes.
You know, and... And then we used to we have what we call sandball, sandlot ball,
mm-hmm.
where we'd play in the lots there. We'd block off. Sometimes we'd block off a street and play right out in the street.
Not in the park, but on the street.
On the street. And sometime in the park, you know, if you have one open corner.
Mm-hmm.
Then, but then when we used to play big games, like we had a little team going, and we used to go practice down Seaside Park. And a lot of times, I'd go practice. Every time they had practice, I'd be there practicing. And when we have a big game, they want me to sit it out.
Yeah.
And one of the other guys, he said, well, he's a better hitter than you. I'd say, yeah, but he didn't practice.
Yeah.
So one time I happened to own the bat, one bat, catcher's mitt, and I think it was a first baseman's glove. So when they told me I had to sit out, I took my gear with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, let us use it. I said, no. If I don't play, you don't use it.
That's only fair, especially if you make all the practices.
Yeah, I used to make all the practices.
Yeah.
Some of the big guys, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
But then when the game come time, oh, man.
They figure they got
a
lock.
The girls up in the bleachers there, you know, they want to make a big show, you know.
What position did you play?
I played second base, sometimes played shortstop.
Hardball. And Seaside Park seems to be a big part of your, not just your life, but your family's life.
Yeah.
Recreation, and that's how your parents met, at a ball game.
In Providence. Yeah. So.
And then, let's see, you were at the gas station in the mid-50s, and what from there?
From the gas station to Sears and Roebuck.
Sears and Roebuck, that's right. that's what Mary said.
Yeah.
And that was Sears and Roebuck
right here in downtown Bridgeport. Right down the street here.
Yeah.
I was there for 26 years.
And what was your, in what capacity?
Brake mechanic, brake specialist.
Oh, so you were at the automotive center.
Yeah, I was automotive.
I know you knew my grandfather
then. I did brakes for 26 years.
My grandfather swore by your place. Yeah. You see, that's the best garage.
Yeah, it was good. I really enjoyed it.
It's now the Connecticut State Police Barracks.
Yeah, State Police Barrack now.
Sometimes I seem to say these things that we know as obvious, but for posterity,
for somebody who hasn't been in the area, they wouldn't know what it was.
That's right.
Yeah, because when I first went in there, the dirt was still on the ground. They hadn't finished the floor yet.
68 it was built, 1968?
67.
67, okay.
And they were still building it, and when I went in, my youngest brother had already started there. He started working there part-time because he was working for the state at the same time, too. And I was working in the gas station, Musi's. I had left Kramer's and went to work. See, when Kramer gave up his gas station, opened up the body shop.
It's still there.
Yeah. So Kramer doesn't own it no more.
It's still the name.
Yeah. Yeah, because little Nicky sold it. He sold it to a firm that was come out of Norwalk. But they still use the name because that was the only way that the guy could get the body shop. You got to buy the name. All the permits.
Yeah.
That's for Kramer's. Because I think there was something about in Stratford that Kramer's was the last body shop to be built in the 60s there. And according to, I think, the town charter, there was no more body shops to be built after that.
So you worked at the body shop too then?
Yeah, I worked in the body shop for a little while. But I couldn't stand the noise, the scraping.
Yeah.
But I would be there practically every week. I would be there and I would help out. Because a lot of time I used to drive the wreckers and go and pick up wrecks for them. Like if I was off on Wednesdays and I'd be down there and I would drive the wreckers going any accidents, and we get a call for one. I go out and help bring the cars and things back in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting job. The one time when we were working in the gas station, I think it was 1956, when we had a little fog out in Stratford on the turnpike. That was why they were still building the turnpike.
When was that going through? Do you remember? 56?
56. There was a 40-car pileup. And I was working in the gas station. We had a wrecker. So myself and little Nicky went up on the turnpike to help, you know, get some of the cars off. And we were also setting flares up. And the accident happened on the southbound side of the turnpike. But the people on the northbound, some were stopping to see what was going on, and they were getting hit in the back. And next thing you know, chain reaction. Yeah. And a lot of, practically every wrecker that was in the city of Bridgeport and Stratford was up on the turnpike. And a lot of them didn't even get a chance to tow a car up. They were hit.
Oh, boy.
We were lucky. We went right up on a ramp. I think we brought down about 8 or 9 cars. And out of all them cars that were in that accident, nobody got killed. And I think the most serious injury was a broken arm out of all of that. That was something. And when I was setting up the flares, you know, you hit the flare and it lights up.
Yes.
A little piece of it hit the tip of my shoe, went right through my shoe.
So
missed my toes.
Oh, missed your toes. I didn't say, I hit a little hot foot
there.
And
then I was saying to little Nicky, I said, damn. He said, oh, I forgot to tell you, that's molten metal. That goes right through. You know, that's all. I said, no wonder these guys wear these steel-toed shoes.
Yeah, steel tip.
But I was always afraid of a steel toe because I remember a case where a guy had a steel toe and he dropped something on his toe. And the steel cap cut his toes off. Because, see, at that time, when they first started with the steel toes, it was just a cap. And then I think after that accident...
The cap on the outside of the shoe.
No.
It was on the inside of the shoe.
It's on the inside with the leather over it. Yeah. You couldn't say it. See, it was... Mm-hmm. And then what they started making then was putting a bottom piece on it, like a cap at the bottom. Because... The way it was just a cap.
Oh, I see.
And anything hit it, it was going to come right down, just like a blade.
Then it would become like a shell.
Right.
Yes.
So this way here, they put a bottom piece on it.
Was that in the garage, or that happened, or you?
No, when that accident about that, when the guy got his toes cut off, that happened in the garage. I don't know if it was in Bridgeport, but I remember that it happened because they were telling us about it.
And you worked in Stratford at that time. Yeah.
And then when I went to work for Sears, we were using acetylene torches. Then they come out with a directive that said, anyone who has contact lens, do not operate a torch. Something about the heat from the torch would melt it. Because one guy, that's why they came out with that directive. It didn't happen here, but it happened someplace where when a guy went to take his contact lens out, I came out with it. Eyepiece came out with it. He went blind.
The iris.
Yeah.
He took the top, the cornea, the top cornea of the eye.
Came
the
right
cornea, out. Not the iris, the cornea.
Yeah, and that's what they told him.
And that was over here in Bridgeport, or?
No, that didn't happen in Bridgeport. It happened someplace, but they came out with a directory, and they posted on all the bulletin
boards. I see.
You know, telling us if you wear contact, stay away from torches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what happened. The guy pulled it out.
Oh, damn it, yeah. It would just adhere.
Does it seem like it sort of melted or something? So it was a big piece. They made sure, and they made us all read it and sign it. So, they, you know, this way here, they've got your signature on that if anything happens, that you read it. You know? A lot of guys, yeah. And they would sign it and wouldn't read it.
Mm-hmm.
But like you say, once you sign it, it says that you read it and you understood it. If you didn't understand it, you were supposed to ask. You know?
Sears and Roebuck was a landmark in Bridgeport. And like I said before, everybody, my grandfather included, knew the garage. Were you ever part of any kind of national meetings, or did you ever go to conventions for Sears and Roebuck or mechanics?
Well,
brakemen.
Yeah, I went to a couple schools. They sent me from to one school in Pennsauken, New Jersey, for brakes. Now I had been doing brakes in the gas stations, but then when I was in the gas station, we didn't have our brake lathes to cut our own shoes and stuff,
okay? Mm-hmm.
And do our drums. We used to send them out.
Yeah.
So Sears already had that equipment, and so the first brake lathe they had was called a Barrett. That was the ugliest looking thing I ever seen in my life. It looked like a big pot standing up there, and you set the drums on it. We learned how to operate that. Then they came out with this, the Amco, and then they sent us to school up in Pennsauken, New Jersey for a week.
Pennsauken, New Jersey or Pennsylvania?
No, Pennsauken, New Jersey.
Okay.
That was the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sent us up there for a week to go through a training course on brakes. And that was actually to learn the technical aspects of it. The physical aspects was no problem. Hands-on was, that was me. I knew what exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it came down to the technical stuff, the reading the book and coming out and explaining about this and about that, that's what we had to go for.
Yeah.
See, but as for doing the work, there was no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it. And let's see, when the first, I think the disc brakes first came out in 1951, I think disc brakes first came out. I think Chrysler had it. And we started working on disc brakes in 1960, last part of 67, and then 68 all the way up to now, up until I retired. And it wasn't, it was an item. It said, don't be afraid of disc brakes. They're not as hard as they seem.
Yeah.
And as for rebuilding the calipers and all that.
Yeah.
Once you did one, gee, this is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we used to have nothing but wheel cylinders.
Yeah.
And
So you were working on both at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was doing both of them. And then my buddy Kramer had this old Model T Ford, and it had what they call a step-up cylinder. Like, one part of the cylinder was 1 1/4 inch, and the back part was, about an inch. That's what they call like a step-up bore. In other words, you needed more pressure to stop going forward than you needed stopping backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they call a step-up bore or a cylinder. And we had some old cylinder kits that Sears had that they were going to throw out. And when I was checking them, I says, hey, I can use these. And they said, oh, what? I said, they're outdated, Frank. I said, yeah, but I says, a friend of mine has a Model T. And I says, and according to the little box and the writing on it, it says for Ford and up. So I said, and I think it said from 1921, something like that.
Perfect.
Something like that. So I said, well, let me take them anyhow. You're going to throw them away. So we took them down there, and we pulled off one of the wheels. Because see, what Nick used to do, if it leaked, he'd take it apart, wash it off with mineral oil or whatever it was, and then he'd put it back together again.
Yeah.
And then it would work again. So when I brought these things to look, I said, yeah, because right in the center, it had the sides of it. I said, hey, got brand new ones now.
Perfect.
So we put them together.
Can't beat that.
And the Model T, his son still has it. I think little Nicky still has the Model T.
Oh.
Because I remember one time in the 50s, we were riding in it around Stratford, and we stopped at Keating Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager of Keating Ford called us in, and they told Mr. Kramer at that time, he says, Nick, I'll give you any car on the lot for it. He said, what do I want another car for? He said, I already got a 53 Buick. I got this, and I got all other types of cars. He says, I don't need no more cars. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll buy it off. He said, I don't want to sell it. He said, any car in the shop. He said, any car, mm-hmm. any car on the lot that I have. He said, I'll trade you even for it. I says, no. He says, I don't need another car.
It sounds like you liked working with cars. How'd you get along with all the workers? And
Very good.
Yeah?
Very good. Always had fun.
And you enjoyed the cars?
I enjoyed working on the cars. In other words, like I tell guys, if you want to get some kind of vocation, get something that you can enjoy.
Excuse me. All right. You were just saying about looking for an occupation.
Yeah,
and
like I tell kids, if you're going to look for a job and you want an occupation that you're going to get something that you're going to enjoy doing, because if you're just going to take the job just for the money, I said, after a while, that's going to be boring and you're not going to want it. Then you're going to say, oh, man, I'm tired of this. Then you're going to slack off. You probably get fired when you start slacking off.
Yeah.
So get something that you enjoy doing it. Like I used to enjoy working on cars. That was one thing I really enjoyed. So I got along good. That's why I kept it so long. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't have kept it that long, you know. I couldn't become a bank president because that'd been a lot of work, and that I didn't want. You know? So
cars, out of all the jobs you've had, it seems like you enjoyed the cars the most.
Well, cars and heavy equipment, that's what I enjoyed. And like when I was in the military, they always gave the smallest guy the biggest piece of equipment, I guess for what, self-esteem, make him feel better or something. Because like that big Northwestern that I used to operate, I mean, that was huge. And the tracks were up like this. Plus,
about
I used to drive a 7.5-ton reel, and the running board was about 2 feet off the ground. Because when I was stationed down in Florida with an engineer outfit down there, when I came back to the States, I had to bring my own heavy equipment. Like, I was an engineer outfit,
mm-hmm.
so if we had to use a bulldozer or something on the other side of the base, okay, they would call up our engineer outfit. Okay, we need a bulldozer on the north end of the base or something like that. Can you send us one over with an operator? So I would go down to the what they call a POL dump. And
what's POL means?
Well, it was, let's see, what was it? Okay, we had trucks down there, plus there was fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go down there, I'd get my truck, which is a 7.5-ton reel. It's like a tractor. And I'd go pick up a lowboy, which was a, it's a trailer,
mm-hmm.
but it's a low trailer. That's what we call a lowboy. It's only about 1.5 feet off the ground. Got quite a few wheels on. And I would run my bulldozer up on it, tie it down, and then I would go to my job with it. When I finished, I load my bulldozer back on, bring it back to my outfit, take it off, and put in our motor pool. And if I had to bring a crane, I'd do the same thing. Put my crane on, load a boom down, tie it down, transport any place I went.
So I know you like that in the military. I guess, the military was your first full-time career.
Yeah.
But then when you came back at Kramer's gas station, that was your first full-time job?
Yeah. Well, I worked with Kramer part-time.
Oh, part-time.
Part-time right there. And then when he opened up the body shop in 62, I helped him around it, but I was working for somebody else in another gas station. I worked for Musi's gas station, right down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And but on my days off, I would be over Kramer's. I would be driving a record, pulling cars up or any kind of.
So had a couple of part-time jobs.
Then when I went to work for Sears,
yeah,
I was doing the same thing. When I was off, I'd always be down Kramer's.
So was it a full-time position at Sears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was full-time job.
I guess outside the military, then your first steady full-time,
eight
hours a day.
Military was actually a steady full-time job.
And then Sears,
and then
Sears Automotive.
Well, the gas station, when I worked for Musi, that was a full-time job,
mm-hmm.
in the gas station.
Oh, that was a full-time job,
yeah.
in the gas station.
And
there.
I stayed with Musi from 62 to 67. And then I went to work at Sears. And I stayed with Sears from 67 to 92.
1992.
26 years.
This, and you don't have to answer this question if you'd rather not. Do you remember your pay scales back then? You know, yeah. How much pays you were getting? You do?
Uh-huh. I remember all my pays.
Okay.
My first job at Lorraine Novelties, I was making 33 cents an hour. My first job at GE, I was making 60 cents an hour.
And that was just before, well, just before you entered the war.
Yeah.
So in the early 40s.
This was during the wartime.
Yep.
At Jenkin Valves, I think I was making 55 cents. That's why I left Jenkin Valves and went to work at GE, because they were paying a few pennies more.
Sure.
And
so you went from Jenkin Valves to GE, and then you were in the military.
Right. And let's see. In the military, my first pay was $21 a day once a month, and then it went up to 28.
So was it like $28 a month?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they used to say, $21 a day once a month.
Yeah.
that was the whole month's pay. And then they went up from 21 to 28. And then I think went up to about 40 some odd dollars. Because as a staff, when I was a staff sergeant, I was making, I don't know, just a little over $100 a month. But then I was always on TDY, so sometime my pay would be $300.
TDY
was temporary duty assignment.
Okay.
In other words, I was on courier for a while when I was in Japan there. Because, see, one time I was what you call malassigned. I was engineers. When the last time I went overseas, I was engineers. And the outfit they put me in was a radar outfit. And I'm saying, what am I going to do in a radar outfit? I don't know nothing about this. They say, well, you'd be a sculptor. I said, what's that? You know, they got a board where you plot the positions of aircraft.
Sure.
So
sure.
I said, that's like boring because I'm an outdoor person. So they said, well, okay. So they said, well, we'll put you on one of the relay sites anyhow. And so they had me cutting a road going up to one of the plateaus. And I had a level of space off because they were putting up a relay up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was cutting a road up the mountain up there. And one winter, while I was cutting the road up there, I hit a rock that was up underneath some ice and snow, and it flipped me.
Oh, yeah.
And me and Bulldozer went over the side of the cliff. And
Okinawa.
Yeah. No, this was in Japan.
Oh, in Japan.
I was in, Kadena or Misawa? I think I was in Misawa at the time. Yeah, because that was the AC&W outfit, 511, because they got a reunion coming up this year. They send me papers all the time. I send them clippings when I don't make the meetings, the reunions. And I had just missed hitting our POL dump, and we had aviation gasoline in drums sitting down on the bottle. Mm-hmm. Just missed it. And I had an Army Parker on at the time because it was cold. And when I went in the mess hall, the officers were eating and the guys were eating there, and they said, what happened? I said, oh, nothing. I just fell off the cliff with the bulldozer. And the officer looked at me and says, how's the bulldozer? And I just looked at him and walked away from him. He didn't ask me how I was.
Incredible.
I guess he figured, well, I'm standing there, so I must be okay,
Yeah.
So
still.
I said, okay.
And then after that, the gas station, do you remember the salaries at the gas station, perhaps?
The gas station's 75 cents an hour. And then when I went to work for Sears, they started everybody off at $115 a week. And then plus your overtime.
Sure.
Do all your overtime. So that was nice there. And then it graduated up. So when I left, I was making $15 an hour. Let's see, $15.50, something like that.
It's a far cry from 33 cents an hour.
When I tell guys that I used to work for 33 cents an hour, and I would bring home $16 at the end of the week, and I could go to, at that time there was a place called Case Close, where you could buy a pair of pants, a reversible vest for about $10, or sometimes less than $10. Actually, you could buy a whole suit for close to $10, in case clothes, with the reversible vest, where you have it be corduroy on one side, and then you turn it over, inside out, and it would be like plaid or something.
Sure.
And I still have a picture of it at home. And Case Clothes was nice. Everybody used to go there. It's on the corner of Norman and Railroad Avenue. Right now, there's it's right across from Winfield, the ballpark out
yes.
in West End there. And
played ball there many years.
Yeah, I used to play ball there, too.
Only softball, though, I played there. Never played hardball there.
And I used to go ice skating there, too, because a lot of times in the wintertime, water would freeze on it. And with the time, we had the skates that had like clips on it.
Yes.
You used to hook to the soles of your shoes.
Yep.
And you had a key. I used to tighten them up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we used to use for ice skating. And then they came out with the shoe skates.